Stephen Jost, let's talk about this first. You obviously are opposed to this, and it's going to be hard to say. This is a tax. Everybody's opposed to that. But why are you to this tax opposed?
Well, first of all, I don't think everybody's opposed to building a better road system. Okay. And let's just take, for example, the first thing you said, mass transit. Okay. If you look at the list of projects, there's not one item in there that really addresses mass transit. For example, when I was the co-chair of the TPO, everybody knows when we talk in terms of mass transit, we need more trains, the more people movers. Okay, all this does is build more lanes, more of the same. And that goes to my other point, is this is an old system. Okay, as everybody knows, for example, the current mileage standard for cars is like 23.6 miles a gallon. Okay, that's going to double by 2025. So we're going to use a system, an old system, an old tired system that even the Secretary of Transportation for the state of Florida, mm-hmm. you know, that works for the governor, Rick Scott, says the current system is not sustainable. I mean, that is a quote. You can look it up on the internet. So why would we go and use an old, tired system of collecting, you know, old taxes when the paradigm is shifting before our very eyes? Okay. So gas mileage is doubling by 2025. Then what you have are alternative fuels. For example, we just built the first natural gas station on the west side. That now you can drive from Los Angeles, California, all the way down Interstate 10 to Jacksonville, Florida, on natural gas. And so as an antidote, and I've seen the projections, these large fleet users are quickly converting to natural gas. And the large fleet users are the core customer that pay into, when they buy the diesel, they're paying into our current revenue system. Mm-hmm. So you're going to lose a large core customer over the next year. For example, one of the large delivery companies, and I was talking to their transportation president when we opened up the natural gas station on the west side, said they have 223 vehicles in the Jacksonville area. By September of this year, mm-hmm. half of them will be converted to natural gas. So as I sit here and speak to you, literally the industry is changing before our very eyes. And so we know that. We've got data that shows that. I've got data here that shows in the United States the actual amount of gasoline being consumed is going down. It's not going up. Okay, I've got data in front of me since 2009, the standard mileage is starting to go dramatically up. For example, I would challenge your listeners, Google the new Ford F-150. Okay, they're getting rid of all the metal parts. It's going to be extremely lighter, and this is what we're going to. I've read data on it that the new Ford F-150, for example, will use 4 gallons less than the prior model.
Let's obviously, you're passionate about this. If you want to take part in this conversation, our callers out there, give us a call at 549-2937. We're talking about extending, potentially, the city of Jacksonville's gas tax, which is going to expire in 2016. Right. Now, what you're saying here, it's funny because efficiency is good. Cars are getting better mileage. But in this situation, it would harm the city.
Because we're not keeping up with technology. As everybody knows, government, it lags in technological change. That just seems to be the way it is. But we've got this data in front of us. I'm not saying I'm opposed to a tax per se to pay for transportation. If anybody knows about transportation, I work for a company. We've got 750 stores. We've got dedicated vehicles that deliver food to all our stores. Okay, what mm-hmm. that means is if that truck gets delayed, okay, because they'll deliver all over the state of Florida on a 48-hour, when they map it out, you know, they go on a 48-hour drive time with two drivers. So if one thing, especially in the beginning of the cycle, delays that truck, it messes everything else up in that delivery cycle. So I'm not saying we shouldn't pay for our roads at all. I'm saying we need a new, better, smarter, progressive system that keeps up with today's not technology, not yesterday's.
Okay, Council President Bill Guilford is obviously on the opposite side of this issue, and he says we probably should raise the gas tax to after 2016. He told us just the other day that he feels that it's the best thing for the city. Let's hear what he had to say.
Man, in some still pretty tough times, we could put a lot of people to work. And that's what this economy needs, especially in the jobs that would create are the people that most need those kinds of jobs. That's where our greatest unemployment is.
And if you'd like to take part in this conversation, our callers, the number 549-2937. Stephen Jost, Councilman Jost, what do you say to that? He's obviously now saying that jobs will be created because of this.
And it's true. And I'll concede that point. I'll concede 2 points right now. As another point he's made is interest rates are extremely low. It's a good time to borrow. But let me say this to that. Okay, if you look at the list of projects, the first list was a little over $100 million. I think they're coming up with another list. If you actually went on a pay-go system, because we're bringing in $27 million a year, I could pay cash for every single one of those projects over a 4 to 5 year period. So why do we want to put ourselves in debt? And if you really look, the city right now, we pay hundreds of millions of dollars in debt every year to service our debt. How many jobs could we create right now today if I didn't have all those debt and interest payments? So why do we want to go in debt for another 20 years to create a few jobs today when I could create permanent jobs by going on a cash-go system and take my time and come up with a better, more efficient system? As we know, the whole transportation industry is changing right now.
It seems like this is a big issue, not just here in Jacksonville, all over the state and all over the country. Virginia, for example, has changed. They have gotten rid of their gas tax, the state, different from the city, and they've increased their sales tax. There are other ways to pay for this, you're saying. What do you think about that?
Yes. What I'm saying is we need to look at all the methods. A sales tax, everybody pays. Some of the other states, what they're looking at is a miles-driven system. Everybody pays. Everybody benefits, everybody pays. And so we need to look at alternative methods that are keeping up with the times, not use the old system. The old system, again, the Secretary of Transportation that is in charge for all the roads, all the highways, all the bridges, everything in the state of Florida is on record numerous times saying the current system is not sustainable. So why do we want to go down this dead-end road? It's not going to work.
Let's go to a caller right now. Robert in St. Augustine. St. Augustine not affected by this. It's St. John's County, but still a big local issue. Robert, what do you have to tell us?
Well, I like to say I work up in Jacksonville quite often, and I understand the problems that you're faced. I'm glad to hear you talking about transportation, because we are in the midst of a great transition in transportation. And one of the things I'd like to see happen in Jacksonville is the recognition of, and you talk about bringing on jobs, bringing in new jobs. Let's pump up the electric vehicle industry. One way to do that is to provide electric vehicle plug-in infrastructure in the city. They found in Seattle that when they put in EV parking kiosks throughout the city, one, they pumped up the EV industry, and two, their revenue from parking actually increased. So that would be, that's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, Robert,
driving EVs.
That's great.
Yep. Thank you, Robert.
Let me address that. Again, when you started the conversation, you said mass transit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, obviously, this guy Robert seems pretty smart. He studied up on the issue. And so that's what I'm saying. All the projects that are on the list, just add more lanes, more of the same. Now, some of them go to drainage projects, which we desperately need. I'll say that, and they should definitely stay on the project list. But the majority of it is just more of the old stuff. We don't have one project on the list that addresses mass transit or electrical vehicles, staying ahead of the curve, being smart, being progressive, looking forward into the future. And Robert, thanks for calling in. I'm glad you recognize that.
Well, obviously JTA, you're talking about mass transit, would have a big say in this. JTA board member Ed Burr says the authority can't properly operate without funds from the gasoline tax, and without it, Burr said they would be forced to make drastic cuts. He spoke to us too recently, and here's what he had to say.
Those are the non-choice riders who use the transit system to get to work, some of our disabled riders who use our paratransit services to get around to their necessary appointments they have to get to, and even the discounts we give seniors. You know, some seniors ride free depending upon age. Those would be in question as well, be able to maintain those.
Right. He's saying basically that the people who would be affected most are people who might not be able to, you know, afford anything else, and they're the ones who are going to be helped by this.
Yeah, that's the old Achilles heel defense. You know, you go for the weakest part. You know, what I would come back and say, have they cut salaries like the city has? You know, why do they still give millions to what I call the peopleless mover? You know, so they squeeze the efficiencies over there. And let's talk about this, okay? We're talking about $27 million right now coming in. So let's just say everything stayed the same, you know, I'll concede their points. Just say everything remains static. So over 20 years, we're going to bring in roughly $600 million. Now, they say roughly $100 million will go to the city. You know, there's a little over $100 million in projects. Where's the other $400 million? I mean, is that just going to bureaucracy and operate their agency? Where's the other I haven't heard a word about that. Where's the other $400 million going? It's, you know, the vast amount of this money that's supposed to go to transportation seems to me is not going to transportation. It's going, and in his own words, is going, without this tax, we can't operate our agency. Well, the gas tax was not designed to subsidize the JTA. It was originally designed to build roads, and originally the city of Jacksonville was building the roads. So, I mean, to me, this brings in a whole bigger question as to whether the gas tax even needs to be going to the JTA, because if that much money is going to run to overhead, we've got a whole new problem on our hands.
Another issue. Let's go back to some more callers. If you'd like to take part, 549-2937. We're talking about the city of Jacksonville's gas tax and the potential for extending it another 20 years when it expires in 2016. David in Jacksonville, go ahead and ask us your question here.
I just like to touch bases on a couple of things that your guest is speaking about. You know, in taking into consideration natural gas right now, that's incorrect. Right now, the market's flooded with natural gas, so it's cheap and abundant. They're in the process of building some liquefied natural gas ports down in the Gulf. When that happens, the market will be manipulated and natural gas is going to go up. Everybody knows that. He's correct in saying alternative energies, but we can't lay our hat on natural gas. Over the next 5 or 10 years, you're going to see some significant increases in natural gas. That's all I wanted to say.
Hey, right, thank you, David.
Hey, David, thanks for calling in. Let's just concede your point. You know, say like natural gas gets manipulated or whatever, that still doesn't change the fact. And let's say the price of natural gas does come up to the unleaded and diesel amounts. So, you know, I'd say, hey, there's no reason for businesses to keep switching over to natural gas. But what it doesn't negate is the fact that the average mileage is going to go from 23 basic miles a gallon to over 52 by 2025. And we've got the data to show it. Actual data in the last 4 or 5 years shows the mileage increasing drastically. So we're on that linear plane, you know, the point of no return where we're going to achieve these mileage standards. It's not something, you know, just out there, you know, some nebulous idea. It's actually happening. You know, again, I'll reference the new Ford F-150. It came out, you know, 2 months ago. I was reading it with interest. I'm like, wow, this is really cool stuff that's going on. I mean, it's
a very popular truck locally too. I have four on my cul-de-sac.
Yeah, the number one truck in the United States, and look at the efficiency that thing is going to gain over the next couple of years.
So that is good overall for drivers.
Yes,
for the environment, but
it's not good. And so what happens, so for example, even though actually people are starting to drive a little less, for example, in the state of Florida this year alone, 350,000 people are moving to the state. We're in our third year of record tourism. So actual total aggregate miles for the state of Florida is going way up, yet you've got a declining revenue source to pay for the roads, to pay for all this additional demand and burden putting on our road systems. And so the data shows it doesn't work. And one other point I think this is key, actually two, is over half the council is going to turn over. We're in an election year. You know, what do the new candidates have to say? I mean, shouldn't this be deferred to the election cycle so people can actually have a say-so? There's not one town hall meeting that I know of that's even been planned. I know when, for example, Mayor Payton did the journey, we went all over the city talking about this issue. You know, when we did a revenue neutral increase, I think Richard Clark was finance chair, just a revenue neutral increase, okay? We went all over the city. This potentially is a $600 million extension of a tax, and we're not even talking to the citizens about this.
I suspect it would be a hot topic in the election.
Yes.
Let's go back to some callers. 549-2937 again, 549-2937 if you'd like to take part in this conversation. Jeff in St. Augustine, do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I guess my only comment was, you know, I would certainly hate to see it go to a sales tax increase. You know, I think we want to discourage people from driving, right, for lower congestion and obviously get people where they need to go. But so, you know, a gas tax does that. You know, it's a market force to, you know, conserve to some extent fuel. Whereas if you put it on the sales tax, I mean, you might as well just drive as much as you want because, you know, obviously you're paying more in fuel, but, you know,
you're saying taxes, other things, not necessarily related to transportation.
Right, more of a user tax.
Yeah, and I understand it's a problem. And I've lived overseas where they had a mileage, you know, calculated tax system. And it just seems that would be rife with fraud. And it would almost have to be a nationwide system because, I mean, if you drive, you know, 10,000 miles out of state every year, you know, it's not, you wouldn't want to pay that tax to Florida necessarily or whatever, you know. So it seems like it would be hard to effectively do in this country a mileage-based system.
Okay, Jeff in St. Augustine, thanks so much. Councilman Stephen Jost, again, a lot of passion on both sides of this issue. He's saying, in a lot of ways, a lot of people might say he has a point. Make it a user fee.
He does. And what I'd say to Jeff, it's funny all the people from St. Augustine are calling it, but Jeff makes a great point. And, you know, I think it goes to my point is we're having an election next year. Over half the council is going to turn over. Wouldn't a constituent like Jeff like to know what all these new people coming in are going to have to say on this? This is a big issue, $600 million issue. Don't you think during an election year the candidates should have something to say about this? I mean, what makes people think 19 of us in the JTA have all the answers? You know, when we did the Better Jacksonville plan and even the voters had voted on it, when the flyovers went to certain neighborhoods, the people came out in droves against these projects. We haven't even gone to one neighborhood and asked them what they think on this. Yet we've got a whole list of projects for them. You know, shouldn't we be out talking to the people?
Let's go to another caller. David in Jacksonville, we're talking about the city gas tax extension proposal. What kind of question do you have for us?
The question that I actually have is regarding the mass transit. That to me is a topic that just doesn't seem to be addressed in this town. I myself drive about 75 miles a day, just trying to get from point A to point B in Jacksonville. And I'm really interested in knowing how that is going to affect, how is it going to improve the infrastructure of that and create a reliable transit system that can actually reduce the amount of traffic in this city and increase efficiency. So I'll take my answer off the air.
That's a good question.
That's a great question. Well, number one, it's not going to reduce traffic. It's going to encourage more traffic because, like I said, we're just building more of the same, more lanes, you know, two lanes to three to four, whatever.
So what you're saying is it's telling people drive more.
Yeah, and so and this goes back to my reference. There's not one project on the list that addresses mass transit, where we go to a regional train system or, you know, a regional monorail or some type of system to actually get people off the roads. You know, and, mm-hmm. and what I was saying, I was vice chair of the TPO a number of years ago. Every study done on transportation says we need more mass transit, mm-hmm. And not one out of $600 million, not one project, not one penny is going to these things, at least not what I've seen.
Okay, let's go to another caller. In Riverside, Alare, you have a question.
That's Alare. And mm-hmm. my question was simply, since he doesn't want, Mr. Juice doesn't want a gas tax, what is his alternative way of funding alternative transportation and transportation issues since the gas tax is dying?
Okay. Well, thank you, Alare.
That is a great question, you know, because it's like it's easy to point out problems. That's mm-hmm. easy, okay? The you know, you got to have a solution. And so, like, what I was saying is, number one, the gas tax doesn't expire until 2016. We've got 2.5 years to study the issue. We should be studying, you know, I mean, the callers are calling in with suggestions. Should we maybe look at a sales tax? Maybe not. Should we look at a mileage-based system? You know, and there are other states out there conducting all these studies. There's data out there. So what's the rush to jump into these projects today? Number two, and I would say this, we, you know, with all this money going to overhead to the JTA, we could go on a cash go system right now, and in 5 years, I could pay in cash every one of the projects that's on the list. So I would say if at the end of 2016 we haven't come up with something, you know, we still need the money to plan for roads. Let's go to a cash go system and bring in, you know, $25 million a year and pay for these things with cash and not go into all this debt and burden future generations. And we can figure it out, you know, to where we can go to a long-term solution. But right now, the wrong answer is to use a system that doesn't work.
You mentioned earlier, obviously, there's only so much you can talk about with your fellow council folks in because of the Sunshine Laws. Have you talked about maybe having a town hall meeting with them? Has that come up yet?
No, but I think we should be having town hall meetings. You know, there's a list of projects out. Let's go talk to the neighborhoods. Do they want them? I mean, when we passed the Better Jacksonville plan, for example, there's a big flyover planned on, I think it was University and Beach Boulevard. Well, when it came time to do it, the neighborhood came out in droves against it. So how do we know all these neighborhoods really want these projects? Mm-hmm. We need some town hall meetings. We need to be discussing it. How do we even know that all the citizens even want us to extend it?
Well, it's something that's going to be definitely debated over the next couple of years, certainly in the next months. And again, we did reach out to the Jacksonville Transportation Authority to come on the show and try to discuss this because it does affect that organization. And we're going to continue to reach out to them and see if we can talk about this as we move forward. Thank you, Councilman Stephen Jost. I appreciate you being here. Very lively discussion. Have a good day.
Hey, you too.
Thank
you. I saw some blue sky outside.
Let's hope so, right?
Thank goodness.